Blog Talk Radio.
O5O on the radio. This is Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We have basketball coming to you. We have football coming to you. You know what's going on in the NFL. It's playoff races as it is December. It is now cold on the East Coast, still warm everywhere else. Well, still warm in the warm parts of the country. But it's cooler now, so you know football is starting to get big time. We got the college championships, college football conference championships. How about that? Going on in college football, but we're starting off in basketball. And it wasn't meant to be this week in the NBA. You know it wasn't meant to be this week in the NBA because we're talking college basketball at first. Are you kidding me? Me? ACC, what are you doing? You were supposed to win this year, but they fell again 8-6. The Big Ten, in their last 7 years, they're 5-0-2. They've been winning. Remember the ACC? They won the first 10. Now the Big Ten, they haven't lost in the last 7. What is going on? Hey, Duke and North Carolina, well, they did what they normally do. They win, but the rest of the conference, they have been falling short for real, for real. But, hey, nothing can beat the Maryland-North Carolina game. One of the best games you're going to see, two of the best players you're going to see, and Melo Trimble and Marcus Paige, they were going at each other. They were straight balling. You had two of the top teams in the country. I know North Carolina's only number 9, but we know better than that. We know they're a top 5 team once they get rolling. And Maryland, hey, you won't find a guard combination better than what they have with Trimble and Suleiman over there handling, putting it up, doing it all. That's a really good team. Carolina, they just have a lot of people back. They got the experience. They better get the fire because now it's coming down to, well, Duke is starting to edge ahead of Carolina, and we know how that rolls in Chapel Hill. That don't roll too well over there with those people down there. It doesn't jive with them like that. So you look at the Maryland-Carolina game, one of the real good games this year, one of the very best. Hey, you can say Maryland's been in two of the best games this year with the Georgetown-Maryland game and then this one at Carolina. Really, really good. Stay tuned this weekend. Syracuse and Georgetown, every time they play, it's a good one. Might want to pay attention to that one. I know that's not in the Big East or ACC realm, but just had to get that in there. There. How about Ben Simmons last night? I don't really know where to go with this one other than to say, you know, I'm not going to get all Dick Vitale on you, but he was super sensational and scintillating. Yeah, last night against North Florida, and I do recognize it's North Florida and not Florida. Well, Ben Simmons kind of went off 43 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. He was 15 for 20 from the field, and I think he delivered some hot dogs. I think he, you know, balanced off the, you know, trying to balance the national debt as well. He was unbelievable last night. And just his legend just keeps on growing and growing. We know he's going to be the first pick in the draft. It's just who is going to get the first pick in the draft. All right. Well, how about Kobe this week? We talked about Kobe on the show on Monday. Hey, he retiring, big time deal. But what about his week this week? I mean, he announces his retirement on Sunday. Goes out there and puts up a dud at home. Well, now it's East Coast time. And where is he going? He goes to Philly. Now he's in Philly. They actually celebrate him in Philly. When do they do that? When do they celebrate Kobe Bryant in Philly? They don't, but this time they did. Cheered him. He made his first 3 threes, then got cold after that. And the Sixers won their first game. They had lost 28 in a row, and they beat the Lakers. So the Lakers come back down to D.C. That's right. They were down here. And Kobe said, you know what? Forget all this friction crap. I'm playing the back-to-back. Went out there against the Wizards, and guess what? It was old Kobe. Old Kobe came back. First 30-point performance of the year, and not only the 30-point performance, it was Kobe. It was the old Kobe down the stretch, making jumper after jumper, hitting the big jumpers to put the Lakers ahead over and over again until he finally finished it off. He had 31. The Lakers won their third game of the season. Yeah, that's still awful. But how about the fans? The fans are cheering Kobe Bryant whether he does bad or good. They don't care if he does bad or good right now. And how about the fact that he's 17 for 50 in the two road games, and you would think he was 30 for 50. The fans are going crazy. That's something I really did not expect on this journey to the finish line for Kobe. But it has happened. That's a good thing to see, because it'll be the only good thing Kobe has this year, because the Lakers are awful and they're bad. How about a team that is definitely not bad? What about the Golden State Warriors? They are now 20-0. 20-0. It is starting to get embarrassing, people. They are rolling on people and making people like it. And that is a surprise. Well, not much of a surprise, but I'm saying it is getting really, really frightening. Yesterday, they were in Charlotte. They blew away the Charlotte Hornets, 116-99. But you know, Steph Curry was home. He was in his element. Went to high school in Charlotte, North Carolina. You trying to tell me none of the ACC teams to see Steph Curry? Either one. Well, we know Steph went to Duke after he went to Liberty, but he went to Duke after Liberty. Well, anyway, Steph put on a show, 40 points in pretty much three quarters, including, how about this, 28 points in the third quarter. The man is a scoring machine right now. It is sick what he is doing to the league. Just embarrassing them out there. Now the Warriors are 20-0. Man, they're putting this best start thing at a whole new level. Hey, look out now. 33 in a row. Doesn't look that far away now. Now, because the Warriors are playing everybody, and they're beating down everybody. That is just crazy right now. Now, but we better hold on to your hats when it comes to that team, because they are playing basketball at a different level than anybody else. And how about this? This one of the things I just thought was funny. Luke Walton, he's the interim coach. Hey, he doesn't get any victories in this trail. They all go to Steve Kerr. So Luke Walton has zero victories. And like the team, zero losses. But how about this? Who wins the coach of this month? Luke Walton. Not winning, not being credited with one win, but he wins NBA coach of the month. Oh, NBA, you are a riot a whole lot of times. I just do not understand. But anyway, wait, how about get to the NFL? It is week 13, and it is the NFL's version of rivalry week. And I'm not going to do like Bo Jackson, rivalry week. It's rivalry week, the number one. It's the Cowboys and the Skins. Hey, it's on Monday night for the 18th time. I think that's more than anybody else. Didn't check that part out. But they're on Monday night for the 18th time, and Matt Castle, he's back under center. We know Romo got hurt on Thanksgiving. He's not coming back. And because of that, hey, the Cowboys, they have the fewest completions with at least a 20-yard, with a pass for more than 20 yards. That's 24. They have 24. That's the fewest in the league. But they're playing the Skins. They only have 31. That's the fifth fewest in the league. They don't have to worry about that. Kirk Cousins, hey, he has thrown a touchdown pass in every game this year, all 11 games, and there's only been one Skin quarterback to do it in 12. That's Sonny Jurgensen, 1967. Hey, how about this? How about Kirk Cousins? Cousins, no interceptions when they win. Bunches of bunches when they lose. All I'm just saying, take that. When he turns over the ball, you already know what it means, even if it's in the first quarter. Just saying. Skins, Cowboys, Monday night, first place. Oh, on the line, and the Cowboys, remember, as bad as the Cowboys are, they're only two games out. I don't even sound right saying that, do I? Anyway, another rivalry. Got to go to Oaktown. Now, the Chiefs are coming to Oakland, and it is a big game for both teams. Not just the Chiefs, but the Raiders are going after playoff berth, too. Dude, but what about the Chiefs' offensive line? You got Eric Fisher hurt. You got Mitch Morris with a concussion. Shondrick West is iffy in the game, but that's almost been a blessing. Spencer Ware been running up and down the field since he's been running with the Chiefs. And how about this? They're trying to go six games without a turnover. Their last five games, zero turnovers. That's how you win the NFL, people. The Chiefs have figured it out. Do not turn over the ball and you're good. They're trying to go six games without having one. The Raiders, how about this? David Carr, he has 24 touchdowns now. 24. He's going after Daryl and Monica's 34, which is a franchise record. He did that in 1969. How about tonight's game? Green Bay in Detroit. And you know both teams will want to go after this. Hey, the Packers, they are falling in the wrong direction. Aaron Rodgers, this season, he hadn't been able to get his bomb threat going. Last year, he had the most touchdowns, 30 or more yards with seven. Of course, five of them went to Jordy Nelson. This year, he doesn't have one, not one touchdown going deep. And how about this? In his first six games, he completed 70% of his passes to the wide receivers. In his last five, he's only completed 45. Oh, well, we know what the problem is there. Get the ball to the wide receivers. What is going on here? Well, you've had wide receivers dropping key passes. What about James Jones last Thanksgiving night, dropping that touchdown pass? You've really been missing out on stuff like that, that the Packers, they're going to have to get it straightened up. And I think they could get straightened up real quick, but they must take out the Lions tonight. How about the Battle of New York? That's right, the Battle of Gotham. The Jets and the Giants. Are you kidding me? The Jets haven't beaten the Giants since, what? 1993. Halloween, 1993. Are you kidding me? I mean, back then I was in college. What are we doing here? Jets? There's no urgency to beat the Giants here, or are the Giants just motivated to take you guys out? The Jets, they're going to have a severe advantage. They're number one in rush defense in yards per game with 84.4. And the Giants, they're 29th in rushing at 89.4. They should punish them. Only thing for the Jets, Darrelle Revis is a maybe situation. Don't know if he's going to play. Don't know if he's not. He's on the concussion protocol. You know who the Giants have. Odell Beckham, 30 catches, just for 481 yards and five touchdowns in his last four games. So you already know that if Darrelle Revis is there, the Jets going to have a huge advantage. If he's not, watch for Eli Manning. He hitting Odell Beckham early and often. Remember, last year he had an unbelievable 18 targets. They just stopped running the ball, which is why they lost here in the nation's capital. Meanwhile, in Tampa Bay, what about the Falcons? What has happened to this team? I mean, they've just fallen off apart totally. But Matt Ryan, his last two games, he had five interceptions. Now, this is a dude that was killing everything early on. Remember, they were averaging 32 points a game, rocking and rolling everybody. And in their last six games now, they're averaging 16.3. Where is the offense? But you can go to the running game. remember, they, you can go to the running game, and I'm not talking about their running game. I'm talking about defending the run. Defending the run, they were the best in the league in their first seven games. They were better than the Jets. They were 78.6. Now they're 28.8 in their last four games. They have been getting drilled. What about what Adrian Peterson did to them the other week with 159? They ran for, what, 191 yards? They are tearing them apart. The Buccaneers, though, they need a victory, and they know they need to keep Jameis Winston out of the turnover category at 1-4 when he throws interceptions. How about giving the ball to Doug Martin more? I mean, he has been on a roll, and last week he hardly touched the ball. Still almost got 100 yards, but he hardly touched the ball. Doug Martin needs to touch the ball in this one, especially the way the Falcons are floundering defending the run game in Minnesota. I mean big. I mean big. Seahawks are going to Minnesota to see the Vikings. I think the whole NFC might change in this one game. We know what the Seahawks do. 12-2 in the last two Decembers and I guess January. We're 12-2. That's a tie with the best record with the Broncos and, of course, the Panthers, who, you know, they haven't lost in forever. And their defense is trying to get set at the right time, but they had a huge problem. No Jimmy Graham. This is really going to hurt now because their main issue was scoring inside the red zone. They don't want to say anything, but hey, without beast mode, can they give the ball to Thomas Rawls when they couldn't give it to beast mode in the Super Bowl? I'm just saying, and you got to watch out there. Meanwhile, for the Vikings, hey, their success, well, they're rotating Brown number 28 still. Hey, he has been really clutch this year in the fourth quarter. He averages almost 8 yards per carry, 7.9 in the fourth quarter. And when they win, he's averaging 125.9 yards per game. When they lose, 52.3. And the stat that I really think is really telling for the Vikings, Adrian Peterson has 237 rushes this year. How about Teddy Bridgewater has 203 completions? They run the ball. They get it. They establish the run, and then they throw it. Play action, and then they do the big deal. Now, the deal is you haven't heard Stephon Diggs' name too often. The last Bridgewater got to get him involved. But to me, what about Kyle Rudolph? He doesn't get him involved enough, in my opinion. Throw the ball to Kyle Rudolph off, and then you can look deep and get Stephon Diggs going up over top. Just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there. They're meanwhile, we got another huge one. And a couple of weeks ago, this didn't look like it was going to be that huge. But it is Colts at Pittsburgh. And, you know, the Colts really, it's almost a tale of two seasons. Would that be fair to say? I mean, you look at this team and you say, holy mackerel, bro. With Andrew Luck, with Matt Hasselbeck. There have been two different teams. Hey, Matt Hasselbeck, the opponents for the Colts, they're not able to score. They only have 5 turnovers in his starts this year, and they've gotten 7 points off of those 5 turnovers. Meanwhile, you go to Andrew Luck, 17 turnovers. They've got 61 points off of them. That's the big difference in the Colts. Oh, you come up here and you say, well, Hasselbeck got to stay in there now. Now, but here's the deal. Here's the big deal. Hasselbeck, he's been facing lesser opponents. Luck played against all the big-time dudes. All right, now Hasselbeck comes up against a big-time team in Pittsburgh. What's going to happen? Is he going to be able to still keep the ball away from him? That'll be key. Hey, we know Big Ben, he likes seeing the Colts. What was it, last season where he had that unbelievable game against them? What was it? 520-some yards and 6 touchdowns against the Colts last year. So you know he likes seeing the Colts. This is going to be a big one. It's the Sunday night game, and I think the AFC might change a lot depending on this game. game, because I believe this game is going to change the AFC, just like I think the Seahawks and Vikings game is going to change the NFC. All right, got to hit the bowls real quick, and ooh-wee. You know, I can't do it. Every time I try to flip past the MAC Conference Championship, it pulls me back in. I got to talk about it. Bowling Green at Northern Illinois. Here's the two coaches. I didn't think that would still be there. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I didn't think either team would have their coach after this one. I thought Dino Babers would be gone. I thought Rod Carey would be gone by now. But they're still there, and they have some dudes that are racked and loaded. We already know Bowling Green. They score a fist amount of points. Matt Johnson, he has over 40 touchdowns this year. Roger Lewis, he actually slowed down and still has over 1,400 yards this year, 14 touchdowns. And we know the running back, Joel Bujanan, for Northern Illinois, over 1,200 yards, 18 touchdowns. We know the deal for both of those teams. Expect a good one in Detroit. I really think it's going to be a good one, but I think Bowling Green going to fly by with this one. I think, and I still think this is going to be the last game for Dino Babers over there at Bowling Green. Hello. What about Temple and Houston? Are you kidding me? Who thought these teams were going to be in the American Athletic Conference Championship? I mean, my goodness, this Temple comes up with a solid team, 10-2, 7-1 in the conference, but it's Houston. Houston's 11-1, 12-1 in the conference. If they go 12-1, I believe they will be that odd team in the BCS who comes from the non-major five conferences. Says, hey, they got a heck of a showstopper in Greg Ward. We already know. He gets it done both running and passing as well as anybody in the country. But now he's starting to throw the ball well. What about the Marcus Ayers? See, where Houston gets no respect. He has 89 catches this year, 1,140 yards, guards six touchdowns. But we know how Temple gets it done as well. Jahad Thomas has kind of slowed down at the end of the season. Still had 1,188 yards, 17 touchdowns. That should be a really good one. One, even though Temple will be on the road because the game will be at Houston, but it should be a really good one, I do believe. Now, let's talk about an underrated one. Southern Miss and Western Kentucky. Man, I haven't really talked about either team most of the year. I mean, Brandon Daugherty, I haven't even talked about him, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Threw for over 4,000 yards this year. Had 42 touchdowns, hit Taywan Taylor, another dude nobody talks about, 71 catches, just under 1,200 yards. He had 15 touchdowns this year. Sure, and you got to go to Southern Miss. They get it done with Jalen Richard. Man, he is one of the real underrated dudes in the country. I believe he needs to get the ball a lot more. Barely got over 1,000 yards this year, had 13 touchdowns, but he didn't start until later in the season. All right, now for the big puppies. I know you wanted to get these jokers out here because, well, it is that time of year. Florida and Alabama. No offense, SEC, but you have the snoozer of the day. Hey, in my opinion, Florida's been having trouble throwing the ball for the last month and a half. Yet they still won the SEC going away. There wasn't even a competition. Meanwhile, Alabama, they've been smoking people. I mean, just been obliterating people in the SEC ever since they lost to Ole Miss at the beginning of the season, taking care of people very methodically and mowing them down. Derrick Henry is absolutely a Heisman Trophy candidate. He almost has 300 carries. He has almost 1,800 yards. He has over 20 touchdowns. He has been the definition of getting it done when he runs the ball. But don't totally ignore Jake Coker. He's been getting some stuff done for Alabama. He has 15 touchdowns. He's starting to make inroads in the passing game as well. Well, now we go to the big one, Pac-12 championship game. Hey, USC and Stanford. Why is anybody talking about this game? Because Even with the two losses, Stanford still has a chance of sneaking the playoffs. We know what Stanford has. Christian McCaffrey is one of the best all-purpose players in the entire country. Greg Hogan, I love him. Heck, I want the Skins to draft him. Draft him in the draft next year. I don't care if Kirk Cousins is there or not. Then you come up there with the wide receivers, the Austin Hoopers and the such. But don't forget about USC. They have been ignored for pretty much all season. Pretty much because the coach was let go and the such. Cody Kessler, man, he has the record book over there at USC. Well, and we know how many quarterbacks have been through there, heck, in the, pretty much the last 15 years. But Juju Smith-Schuster, man, he might be the best wide receiver in the Pac-12. 1,200 yards receiving this year, 10 touchdowns. This should be a really good one. I know USC and Stanford, when they play, is normally a Donnybrook, and I expect another one again. Michigan State and Iowa. The winner of this game pretty much goes in the playoffs. This is a play-in game. There's no doubt about this one. Michigan, hey, we know how they've gotten there. They went through the two big dogs to the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State. They beat Michigan. Both on the road. So they went the hard way. Connor Cook, hey, he might have to be the offensive player of the year in the Big Ten. 24 touchdowns this year. Over 2,700 passing yards. Aaron Burbridge, oh, love him as a wide receiver. 1,158 yards, 7 touchdowns this year. Jordan Cannizzieri is that running back for Iowa. He gets no read. Just under 1,000 yards. He'll hit it on this game. 12 touchdowns. He was nicked up a lot this year. So you got to look out for LaShawn Daniels as well, the freshman for Iowa. Now, you go to the ACC championship game. You got North Carolina and Clemson. Is this a play-in game? We don't really know, because the fact of the matter is, what happens with Carolina if they win? Did Carolina slip in there? Will Ohio State slip in there? Would Stanford slip in there because they got an extra game? We don't know. But we do know Clemson, they win, they're in. And this could be a good one, or it could be a blowout. We don't know, but we got the two most versatile quarterbacks in the ACC, that's for sure. Deshaun Watson, he is the ACC Player of the Year. There was no doubt there. He put on a flat-out show all season long, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, if not the best. And then you have Marquise Williams. Same deal. Gets it running and passing, but this game, in my opinion, goes to the running backs. Elijah Hood, hey, he had over 1,200 yards this year, touchdowns, and he gets it done. I mean, hey, you talk about one of the real underrated running backs out there. That's one of them. But how about this one? Wayne Gallman. Ooh-wee. He had over 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, and he pretty much gets ignored because you're always looking for Deshaun Watson in the running game, and Gallman just keeps plugging along 100-yard games left and right. Hey, you got a fistful of good wide receivers in this one. Mac Hollins is the main one for North Carolina. Then you got Atreus Scott over there for Clemson. You got big-time players in this game. As a matter of fact, you might have more pros in this game than any game this weekend. I know you're up there, Florida and Alabama, but you watch this game in North Carolina and Clemson. They got oodles of noodles of pros running left and right. Well, that is the show for today. And look here, we will be back on Monday. I want to give a special and down shout out to my man KO. Yo, he had his father pass away. We'll get wishing our prayers and condolences to him. Look, man, keep your head up. Our prayers are with you until. All right. So, anyway, we'll be back on Monday, 9 o'clock like normal. Until then, you know the deal. Toodaloo and bye-bye.